Welcome to the Technology Lab, presented by CPA Practice Advisor, with your hosts, Randy Johnston and Brian Tankersley.
I'm Randy Johnston, along with Brian Tankersley. Brian, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Brian Tankersley. I've been in the profession since the early 90s, have been doing accounting technology since the late 90s on a professional basis. I've written a few hundred product reviews, and I've spoken in 48 states talking about accounting technology to CPAs.
And I am from Hutchinson, Kansas. I am so pleased to spend time with you today. I have been on the top 100 list since 2004, the top 25 list since 2011. I love to spend time in technology and with my family as well. I'm fortunate enough to have founded Network Management Group, which is a managed service provider, providing services from Boston to Honolulu. And my K2 business is how I met Brian, and it is how we've probably met many of you, producing CPE and PD in the US and Canada. We're so pleased to spend time with you on today's Technology Lab. Welcome to the Technology Lab. I'm Randy Johnston with my co-host, Brian Tankersley. This session from CES is to give you an overview of some of the industrial use of technology that's out there. Now, in this particular case, it was pretty clear that I'm going to say there's a lot of technologies that are being applied. And on the other hand, there's a lot of technologies looking for a problem. Okay. So I was amazed at this particular show, how many things we looked at and said, you know, I get the technology, but what's the business problem they're trying to solve? But let's be, you know, positive and proactive first, because, you know, the first place that I'd like to go, Brian, is, you know, the company out of Vancouver that had the non-plug plug for EVs. You know, one of the things that any of our listeners who have been around the EV environment, they realize that there's different charging rates and different charging plugs and so forth. But what I liked about this plug was that there was no plugs. Do you want to talk about that for just a moment?
You know, probably the closest thing to this that most of you have seen would be the MagSafe charger that was on the Max for a while. It basically had contacts on it, but you could basically just dock it up and connect it, and then it would sense what was there, and then it would start sending power over it. So the idea here of this is that instead of having a whole lot of different jacks, maybe we just pick one similar jack. Maybe it's one similar to what you would have for shore power for a yacht or a really big boat or something like that. And then you just turn the thing, you know, when it connects, it automatically negotiates the speeds that it can use and whether it's going to do two-phase or three-phase power and all of those other things in AC or DC. And then it sends the electricity over the lines. I found that whole thing fascinating because I've got some friends that have a non-Tesla electric vehicle. And, you know, it's a little bit harder for them to get around because they don't have the charger network for the non-Tesla EVs in rural areas is not nearly as good as what Tesla's is.
Yeah, understood on that, Brian. As it turns out, the person that we talked to on this technology pointed out that the connectors could be dropped into the water and survive. And our listeners have no reason to know that I used to deal with RV and marine parts on a regular basis. And salt water, I think all our listeners know, just tears the heck out of metal. Well, this is designed to really take care of that salt water issue. And the other thing that our listeners would have no reason to know, but now they will, you know, Son Dave has one of the new Ford electric trucks. And the problem around in our part of the country is there is no place to charge these vehicles. So, you know, he had to retrofit his home to be able to plug in his truck. Well, you know, that's all good. And we know that we're going to see some movement in this area. But the one that, you know, caught your eye, and I can still see you kind of shaking your head a little bit, because we did see the Bridgestone, you know, electric vehicle specially designed tires, but also those big trucks that were clearly electric operation, Freightliner trucks that were electric. You know, this whole thing about where is all this technology going to go? You know, recently on 60 Minutes, they had the coverage of the new fusion experiment, and they showed the artifact of the target where they actually made the fusion, positive fusion work and whatnot. So, you know, we stopped and tried to chat, but I don't think we looked like buyers enough to the engineers in that group to talk about fusion. But, you know, this whole power grid, hydrogen, fusion, EVs, and so forth, there's still lots of that. But I think that brings us to the products that you and I have talked about in prior K2 sessions. Two in particular were both on display at CES. The first one of those was the CAT truck. It's a big old truck.
Yeah, so this is what we're talking about here is a super, super heavy off-road truck like you would use in a mining operation. And this one, I think I'm sizing this right, but I know it carries at least 100 tons of material, which is what you would have normally in an open top rail car full of coal. Okay, so it's a very, very large, very, very large truck bed. They actually had one of those in there, and those are actually running autonomously up in the oil sands in Alberta. And there were many things out there that seemed to where self-driving was taking over, but many times it was in applications like that, or John Deere with some of their tractors that are autonomous, or the See and Spray technology that we talked about in the K2 events last year, where basically there are cameras on the bottom of this spray rig, and then it identifies the leaves of the plants, and then the ones that are weeds, it uses AI to identify which ones are weeds. And then in real time, as this spray rig is driving down the row, it will actually spray the weeds with pesticide, and it only uses pesticides there. There was another technology that I think was also a Deere technology. It would place the fertilizer in the ground directly where the seedling was, as opposed to spraying the entire field of fertilizer, which again significantly reduced the usage of, in the case of the sprayer, chemicals, or in the case of fertilizer. I thought it was fascinating how, you know, our desire to be more sustainable and our desire to improve the economics of these difficult things has actually made its way into some of the devices. And we're thinking completely differently about a lot of processes when it comes to farming, you know, from planting all the way to weed killing and even to harvesting.
Yeah. And see, Brian, as it turns out, you know, we both took pictures next to the big CAT truck and next to the John Deere equipment. But most everybody I think that see me knows I'm over 6 foot and I didn't come up to the top of the tire on the CAT truck. So that I think the proper product number on that is like a 793F. It's nominally weighted for 256 tons of capacity for payload. It's an 851,000 pound machine. So, you know, you just start looking at those type of specifications and note that you can get 250 cubic yards on that truck. That's big when you consider most concrete trucks are only delivering 9 to 15 yards. So it's hard to picture how much bigger that is, but that truck is self-driving. So there is nobody required in the cab. And same way with a lot of the John Deere, nobody really required to drive that. I know you have near and dear to your heart some of the boats, for example, like Sea Ray, as I recall. You've probably got some story related to that. But we saw an awful lot of specialized boats, which, you know, there have been a few boats at CES in the past, but, you know, some of these boats were pretty spectacular.
Yeah, and there were a lot of very interesting things there, but I didn't see any technology. I didn't see any technologies necessarily that I couldn't live without either. You know, I think that some people are trying to make a go with hydrofoils these days, which is, again, a boat that rises up out of the water. They were really popular back in the 70s. And so, again, this is another place where what's old is new again. But, you know, there was also another organization that had taken the front out of, you and I thought it was a 767, and it was just sitting there in the middle of the hall doing that. And so there are a lot of interesting technologies in vehicles. We didn't. The thing I would say here, though, is that a lot of the technologies were more walled off than they had been in the past. You know, you and I in the past were actually at the Qualcomm booth at CES about three or four years ago. We actually saw somebody with a cart with a, with one of those domed microphones that was actually trying to record the speech of one of the Qualcomm executives. And this year, the Qualcomm booth was by invite only. And it was all completely walled off. You couldn't get in if you didn't have an invite. I thought it was a fascinating change, to be sure.
Yeah, and I appreciate you calling that out because, you know, I wanted to talk to the Qualcomm people. I think they've got great products. I think they're applicable to our listeners, whether it's long-term batteries in portable computers or whether it's in cars. I mean, they have both. But, you know, bottom line was, some of that you just weren't getting in. And so I was actually pleased, though, and I'm going to close up the big equipment first because, you know, Peterbilt obviously had three big rigs on the floor, and then Palantir had that big, you know, looked like a generator truck or whatever on the floor. So there was some big, big stuff. But big vendors that also make a difference to us. You know, Microsoft actually had a pretty reasonable presence, but they probably used over half of their presence for gaming computers. Admittedly, they had portable computers and they had the meeting technologies and so forth, but fundamentally, they were promoting their gaming position.
I was very excited, though, to see that gentleman that worked with the Dynamics group that was actually talking about Dynamics as well as Microsoft's industry clouds. And he was extremely knowledgeable and gave us a lot of great insights into what they're doing on a going forward basis there.
But probably, don't you think, Brian, that the gaming focus on Microsoft had something to do with their Activision acquisition, which is a little bit in suspense right now? Don't you think they were probably assuming that that would all be put to bed?
They probably were assuming that it's going to sail through, and it doesn't look like it may. It looks like it may not actually do that. Now, one thing I do want to say about the Class 8 or the over-the-road 18-wheeler trucks there was that it seems like the technology that those are headed toward is going to be more hydrogen and less battery for the long-haul stuff. For the short-haul trucks, think of a FedEx delivery truck. We saw a number of those there. I think there was one from Fiat Chrysler or whatever their new name is, and we'd seen one in the past from GM called Ultium, and Postal Service even had one that was made by, I guess, a former unit of AMC that makes the current Postal Service vehicles. So those are definitely going to be there. But again, for the long haul stuff, we're seeing more hydrogen in there. And one of the things I found so fascinating was that there's actually a bacterium that can be put into an old oil well that will capture the hydrogen out of there and make the hydrogen come out of the oil well. I thought that was absolutely fascinating just because this creation of hydrogen and storage of the hydrogen is a problem. And I found it fascinating that they genetically engineered a bacterium that would actually create hydrogen gas, which could then be used in some of these alternative vehicles.
Yeah. And, you know, on that bacterium piece, I did speak about that at a healthcare conference recently, that there are bacterium that can be put in little patches that are about the size of a postage stamp, not much thicker either, by the way, and flexible, just like a postage stamp, that'll generate enough electricity to run a pacemaker or hearing aids or other pieces. And the bacterium reacts with your perspiration and generates enough electricity that, you know, you can actually run equipment. So, you know, back to your Postal Service next generation delivery vehicle, you know, that's going to be built by Oshkosh Defense for $482 million. And they are planning to produce between 50 and 165,000 of those vehicles, which I think is, you know, a fascinating number.
And if you think about the impact that's going to have on the grid, especially in the downtown core of some cities, you know, it's going to be, when you start charging that many vehicles, there's going to be an impact.
Yeah, there is. So going back to maybe our core vendors, Microsoft was there And Qualcomm was there, but locked up tight in a drum so you couldn't get in and see them. Other vendors like Lenovo actually had their private display that was available. But other ones that have been there that we'd learned a lot from historically, NVIDIA, Intel, AMD, they were all kind of no-shows this year. And, you know, one of the things that we know is in process is the sale of Fujitsu's scanner division over to Ricoh. And so, you know, when we start thinking about those types of transactions, I think that might have made some of our friends less likely to go to the show this year. And it kind of changed the tone. And I want to talk about the tone of it with you there in a minute. What else would you say might be important for our listeners to know from this year's CES when it comes to this industrial tech?
Well, you know, you mentioned that there were a lot of places where there was technology looking for a solution. I would suggest, though, that it's very clear to me that people are very concerned about the power outages that are happening on the grid, different places. And so in response to that, pretty much every vendor in the free world has a block that is about the size of two of the standard Stanley black lunch pails that you've seen from the 50s and 60s and 70s. And it has a lot of power in it. And so I actually bought one. I don't know if I've told you all, but I'm actually setting up a apiary with five beehives out in the middle of serious nowhere, and I need something to run my power tools. And so I actually got one of these blocks, and it holds like 500 amp hours at 12 volts or something like that. So it's a crazy amount of storage on these things. But I bet, no kidding, there were 60 or 70 of these devices. And I was in Costco yesterday, or day before yesterday. And when I went through, they actually had solar panels as well as these batteries available. So I just can't get away from them, Brandy. The batteries are just showing up all over the place.
You know, Brian came up with the idea, and you will see some of this surface with us. He said, you know, I'm going to take a picture of you with all these batteries. And, you know, we couldn't even begin to take a picture of me with all the batteries. It was just, there were too many batteries. So it was batteries, batteries everywhere, and not a solar panel that would support them for the long haul, as I saw it. Now, one other fewer things that I thought was true with this year's show is 3D printing is coming of age. And let's face it, there's now five different primary ways of 3D printing. But I think I only counted three 3D printers in the show, unless I missed some. So there was a dearth of 3D printers. There was a dearth of 5G.
But I think those two have navigated other shows. I suspect that the 3D printing has made its way to the industrial shows that have the, you know, the CNC machines and the welding machines and that kind of stuff. It looks like to me, because I remember 10 years ago, I took a friend that was a cell phone salesperson, and there was probably an entire hall full of accessories for cell phones. And this year there was almost none. And so he, you know, again, when I look at this now, I mean, it's quite interesting because there's so much space, but at its peak, the show had 180,000 attendees. And this year they had about 100,000. That's a pretty significant drop off. But I think a lot of that can be explained by like the cellular devices just kind of disappearing. You know, there were a few. Samsung had theirs. There are two or three others, but there were not many.
Not many. And in fact, you know, this lack of phone accessories also was a staccato with the lack of exercise tech. You know, in prior shows, there's been every time you turn around, exercise tech. And, you know, as you and I walked through the innovation awards section, there was some interesting stuff in there. You know, the way you'd put panels together to make a bigger display, or some of the sleeping bed technologies, and, you know, some of the refrigerator and cooler technologies and so forth. So the innovation list was probably worth looking at, but there was nothing there that I said, oh man, I got to have this, as opposed to many years in the innovations. You look at the innovation and said, man, I got to have this. So maybe the Wi-Fi 7 piece, but still too early. You know, maybe some of the laptops. How about for you?
I will say one thing, the one thing that I saw that was a big deal that I got that I wouldn't have known about otherwise was for my Plex media server. I've actually got you can run this on Windows and on Linux. It is an app called Plex Media Server. The licensing for it, a lifetime license, is about $129. And they have a deal now where you can search and it will go look at all of your streaming services. And then you can actually click on a link and it will take you to the website. It will give you a deep link directly to a show. And I thought that was very cool. You know, I've been using Just Watch to find shows and content and things like that for a while. But I was very excited that Plex appeared to have incorporated something similar to Just Watch directly in their media service.
And in fact, I like using my Roku Ultras here. And of course, it has kind of a super search capability like you're describing in Plex, but I don't think it's as good as the Plex service. And I did appreciate the hat and scarf that you were able to take home to your niece, because Roku was, you know, there were a lot of vendors who have big names who made presence known here. We got to talk to the YubiKey folks and so forth. So again, for you and I, it was a good show. It was a little sparse, probably a little less robust than it's been, fewer attendees, fewer exhibitors than some shows. But you know what? A wonderful use of time. I can't think of a better couple of 3 days than we spent together learning about the new technology so we could explain it to you, our listeners, and write about it in the coming year. Any final observations, Brian?
You know, I'm excited about where things are going forward, but you just have to know that it's an interesting show every year, but you really have to pick and choose things. What we've just summarized over these last four episodes of the Technology Lab is basically the experiences that Randy and I had over about a 3-day period. And that's the thing I would have you take away, is that you're really looking at about 45 to 50 hours worth of time we spent walking the halls. I actually tracked our steps in the Apple Health app, and we walked 23 miles all over Las Vegas, learning all about this. And it was a good use of time. And there's a lot of information that, like Randy said, we would have never encountered had we not gone to the show.
Well, wonderful, because I was going to ask you for the number of steps, but I'll take the miles, Brian. So there we go. All right. Well, it is a pleasure to spend time with you here in the Technology Lab. We want you to get the best information as fair as we can report it, and want you to be successful and choose technologies that work for you. We'll speak with you again very soon.
Thank you for sharing your time with us. We'll be back next week with a new edition of the Technology Lab, brought to you by CPA Practice Advisor.